Come on, let's stand to our feet. We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to give him all the glory and all the honor that he is so worthy of. We're going to lift up our hands. The Bible says, I want men and women everywhere to lift up holy hands and praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm bursting with praise today. Amen. When I think about all the Lord has done in my life, he is worthy. And I know you can say the same. Come on, let's sing. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord for the joy.
For the joy.
I'm looking to do today is I've been continuing our message and thoughts on faith and helping you build your faith. Well, that all being said, I was kind of looking. We go back into Easter time and we have the resurrection of our Lord, right? Well, there's a very good and interesting verse in the Bible that talks about that resurrection that I think enlightens us a lot more about that resurrection, that it was just not a one-time, a one-thing event. But if you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, I want to read to you a scripture, and Maybe we'll even read it together. But I really got hold of this scripture, and then I took that and went deeper into it. Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verse 11. And it says there, But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hebrews 8, verse 11. What am I doing? Oh, it's in the Amplified. There it is. I said Romans. I apologize. So you guys all, what does Romans say? We're in Romans. See, I'm thinking of Hebrews, but it's not Hebrews, it's Romans. Let's try that one again. That's why I wanted us to say it together. I knew there was a reason. I was making sure you guys were going to the scripture. That's what it is. Yes, yes. It's one of those senior moments. I agree. Thank you. Right. Okay. Let's try that again. And I think it would be good for all of us this time to read it. So now that I got the right one. But, say it with me. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Do you understand that? Oh my goodness. So it's more than just a one-time thing with the resurrection of our Lord. But you got to understand that Jesus, and most of us believe that Jesus has incredible power. Right? Most of us believe that. There are people in this world and society that don't believe, but most everybody believes that Jesus has incredible power. But I want you to catch hold of what Romans 8:11 says. Romans 8:11 says, it tells us that if the same Spirit, that same Spirit, that resurrection power that brought Jesus out of the grave and raised Him from the dead, if that same Spirit, if, there's a big if, dwells in you and I, and it does dwell in you and I, then that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead gives us the same power that the Spirit of Christ has. So I'm telling you and I today, the greatest force in the universe lives in you. The greatest force in the universe lives in you. This morning I want to talk about this life-changing truth and teach you how to walk in the resurrection power each day. I want us to learn to walk in that resurrection power, okay? It is a power to overcome obstacles. It is a power to outlast opposition. It is a power to accomplish your dreams. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Today it is time to let go of the fear and intimidation and to live life to the fullness of what God has intended us to live. Do you agree? God has put His Son's resurrection power in us. Now let me say that again, because there's too many people that don't even realize that, and they just let it go by. It's just another word. God has put His resurrection power in you. In you. In you. Now, if there's ever a word, a reason to say, wow, that's a reason. Wow! Say it with me. Wow! Well, like so many people, okay. It's actually comfortable in here. Yeah, it's actually fairly comfortable. If you need to turn these fans, you can turn the fans on if you want, but, you know. So, there's a reason. And we can ask this question, and I believe it's a real question. How do we activate this power I'm talking about? I'm glad you asked that question. The answer is very simple, and people make it a lot harder. The answer is believe. Believe. You can't go through life thinking this situation is hopeless. You can't go through life believing I'll never accomplish my dream. It's been so tough and rough. And I've gone through so much. I just don't see where I'm going to make it. I should just give up. I've heard people say that. Understand, in the hospice, I meet 60 to 80 people a month. And I meet a lot of different personalities. I meet from Jewish to agnostics to, you know, to Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Catholics. I meet a lot of them. But about half, not all, but about half give me that scenario. You know, I've got this ailment. I'm going to die, so I might as well just give up. That's what happens with society today. Too many people in society today, too many Christians. I'm not talking about the non-saved. That's another whole world. I'm talking about people that accepted the Lord, people that have that relationship, people that have gone through troubles and trials and tribulations and have come and said, I give up. God is saying not to. You've lost your belief. Don't back down. Don't run away and hide when troubles come. Stand your ground. And as 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Satan has already been defeated. Mm-hmm. Say this with me. Say this with me. Satan has no power in me. Say it again. Satan has no power in me. Amen. You know, this is where the problem is. We let Satan overpower us. We have not any clue the power that lies within us. And we allow Satan to run over us and rule us and take control of us as Christians. I'm not talking the world. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about the life you live, the life that lives inside you. You have alienated that and have been abiding by what Satan is telling you. Woo! Are you listening to me? You are not weak. You are full of resurrection power. You may have setbacks, but you are not the victim. You are the victor. Remember that. Don't back down. Don't run away and hide when troubles come. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Hallelujah. Sickness, bad breaks, financial problems, what people say about you cannot stop you. This resurrection power that is in you will outmatch any power that Satan throws at you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I know sometimes we feel not very strong. But I'm telling you not to go by your feelings. You must go by what God has said about you. Again, reading Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we seem to think that we're going through And what we're going through is overwhelming. It's too big. I can't handle this. But realize this. The bigger the problem is, the bigger it is, the harder it falls. Put that into your vocabulary. It doesn't make a difference how hard things are. It doesn't make a difference what you're going through. It might feel overwhelming, but realize the Spirit that lives in you is more powerful than anything that you are going through today. Hallelujah. That's the power of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You have an advantage, and it's called resurrection power. You need to put your shoulders back, stand straight up, and act powerful. Come on. Act powerful, even if you don't feel it. That's called faith, by the way. Faith is sometimes you don't see it. You don't feel it. You don't look it. But I'll tell you something. If you put your shoulders back, you stand tall, and you start acting it, sooner or later, it'll happen. I say it this way. Fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. Fake that strength. Fake that power. And eventually the power will overpower Satan, and you will actually see it. Don't go through life being intimidated when you have the most powerful force in the universe inside of you. God has always got your back. Always got your back. Turn with me to 2 Kings. And I'm going to give you a story of how God has his prophets back. The Syrian army was after Israel. And the king of Syria was out to get Israel. And it says, starting in verse 8, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, or his captains and his guards, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. Okay? Now here's what took place. The prophet Elijah would hear this through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. See, God can warn you in the Spirit what to do and what not to do. Amen? So God warned Elijah in the Spirit that the Syrian army was going to be at a certain place. And he would go and tell the Israel army, don't go there. Don't go there. Here's what he's saying. And when the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. That means every time the king of Syria would tell his commanders and his chiefs where they were going and what they were going to do, their strategy to combat Israel, every time the man of God would go tell the Israel nation, don't do that, and they would abide, and it would frustrate this king of Syria to all get out. He said, what is going on? He actually thought, well, there's got to be somebody in the camp. There's a spy in my camp. I got to locate this spy. So here's what he did. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said, will you not show me which of us is for this king of Israel? But the servants, which is the commanders, told him. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom or in secret. So what you are telling us in secret, this prophet's hearing through the Spirit of God, and he goes and warns the Israel nation. So they're pre-warned not to be where we're going. And this didn't happen once or twice, but it continued to happen. Well, which in turn, made the king furious. So here's what he had. And verse 13, so he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army. It said thousands, not a couple. You know, come on, this is one man. One man, you go send out a small army, go get that one man and take care of him. But no, that was the fear of this king of the prophet Elijah, a man filled with the Spirit of God. So he knew this was a man filled with the Spirit of God. So I can't send a few. I can send a mighty army. I'm going to send an army after this guy, and we'll get him. I'm going to send a great army. He said he sent an army with chariots. And his servant said to him, "Also, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, I'm farther ahead. "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city where Elijah was." Okay? "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant," this is the servant of Elijah, "the servant of Elijah went back in and he said, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?' Even the servant of the master was afraid." They didn't have an answer. "What shall we do?" So he answered, now here's the clinch. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Well, this kind of perplexed his servant. "What do you mean, master? All I see is the army of the enemy out there. That's all I can see physically." That's all he could see. I tell you, church, today, open your spiritual eyes and you'll find out exactly who's with you and who's against you. "So then Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his, my servant's eyes, that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was full," now listen to this, "of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah." Do you understand? There is more with us than there is with your enemy. Realize that. "So when the Syrian army came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike these people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of God." And then, I won't go into that, but then you got to realize what took place after that. This is what was so cool. After that, Elijah went in the midst of them. And these were blinded. He went in the midst of them and said, no, you're in the wrong place. You know, let me take you to the right place. So he took them down to Samaria where the Israelites were and had them open their eyes right in front of the Israel army. Do you understand? That's what God can do for you and I. He is there for you. No matter what comes against you, keep the right perspective. There is always more for you than there are against you. Don't be afraid of your enemy. You've got resurrection power. Say it with me. I have resurrection power. Hallelujah. You have it. Then you won't be intimidated. You will live with the assurance that God is for you and with you always. You need to understand this. If death could not keep Christ in the grave, then bad breaks, sickness, addictions, financial situations can't stop you. There is power in you that is greater than any power that can come against you. I'm going to say that again. There is power in you that is greater than any force and any enemy and anything Satan will throw at you. And I will guarantee you, he's going to come at you. He's going to throw like he did with this Syrian army. He figured he was big enough that he could take one man. But you got to also understand, he was afraid because he understood the power in this man of God. So he couldn't go on his own. He couldn't send a little force. He sent a mighty army to go get one man. And with one man, with the power of God, understand, there's more with you than there ever is with the power and the forces of the evil one. Remember that. If you will get that right perspective, then no matter what you go through, no matter what you go through, God will see you through it. Let me ask you again. How do we activate this power? Faith, believe. Faith, believe. That's how you activate this power. When you feel the enemy coming against you, tell him, I am powerful. When you see his forces come against you, I am strong in Jesus. Realize that. Hebrews 8:31 says in the Amplified, what then shall we say to all of this? If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be your foe if God is on your side? Thank you. That was an amen corner. None of these things. Realize this. The devil cannot penetrate your life. The devil cannot penetrate your house. The devil cannot penetrate your work. He cannot penetrate your finances. He cannot penetrate through anything that's in you. He cannot do it. God has put a hedge of protection around us as believers. Do you realize that? God has already put a blessing in your life and on your life. Remember last week I talked about God has a blessing. Okay? And he wants to bless you. And he wants to teach you how to bless you. He has a blessing already there. We have to just learn to accept his blessing. He wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. And I'll say this too. All blessings are always overrides any curses. Blessings always override any curse that might come against you. Is that okay to say that? God wants to bless you. Are you, may I ask you this question? Are you a child of the living King? Yes. I'm going to ask that again because that was weak. I think maybe Jesus is sleeping upstairs and you got to wake him up. Does Jesus want to bless you?
Yes.
Are you a child of the living King?
Yes.
We are. We are. We need to realize that. There was this missionary in Africa. He was traveling by horseback to a small village on the very narrow and very winding pathway. Okay? He was on his horse, and as he approached this sharp curve in the road, the horse stopped. That horse would not move. No matter what he did and what he tried to do, he could not get that horse to go anywhere. He couldn't get the horse to move. So in his frustrations, he's thinking to himself, there's got to be something on the other side that I can't see that the horse is feeling. Okay? We all know how the mule and everything talked to the one prophet, you know. So he gets off the horse. He walks and kind of creeps and looks around the curve. And sitting there in the middle of the path, curled up, was a 10-foot snake. Thick, big, and thick, just curled up, relaxing in the middle of the path. He had his head underneath a little flat rock, you know, just grazing in the sun. Well, I don't know about you, but that would definitely put fear in me. I mean, I don't like snakes anyway. I don't care if it's a little bitty snake. If I see it crawl, I'm going the other way. But he understood and he knew, being this missionary, that he had to get to this village. You know, he had to minister at this village. And there was no way of going around. And there was no way of going past him. The path was too short and too narrow. And the mountain was one side and a cliff on the other. So he had to make a decision. He also understood, by words of wisdom by other people in Africa, how dangerous and poisonous snakes are there. So this was not no little small snake. This snake was 10 feet long, wrapped and curled underneath a rock. So he had to make a decision. And he decided, I'm going to take a big rock, as big as I can grab, and I'm going to throw it onto that flat rock where the snake's head is at. And hopefully, I won't make him mad. Hopefully, I'll crush him. So he did it. He got over there, threw the rock. The rock landed right where on that flat rock, smashed that flat rock. But in his surprise, the snake didn't do anything. Didn't do nothing. It's like it didn't even faze the snake. So, now, I know if it was you and I, we'd probably say, okay, I'll go to the village tomorrow, you know. But no, this is a missionary that had the power of God, I really believe, in his spirit and in his heart. So he creeped up closer to the snake to see why it hadn't moved. When he got close enough, he realized it was already dead. Some passerby earlier than him, realized the snake and threw the flat rock at it and killed the snake. The good news I have for you today is that Jesus has already gone down our path and cleaned it of everything that could possibly harm us. Do you realize that? The object of the story is to say that there is someone already cleaned your path. Jesus has already done that for good. We have nothing. Nothing to tell your neighbor, I have nothing to fear. I have Jesus on my side. Hallelujah. Jesus has already paid the price for us 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. He willingly gave his life for our life. The nails that held him on that cross did not truly hold him on that cross. Understand, he could have got down any time. He could have just said, nails be out. And they would have went out and he could have walked off that cross. What held him on that cross was his love for you and his love for me. He loved us so much that he chose to die on that cross for you and I. He chose. When Jesus cried, it is finished, and died on that cross, it says that the veil of the holies of holies was torn from the top to the bottom, opening access for all to come to God. You have to understand what took place before that time. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the holies of holies. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the presence of God. But when Jesus died on that cross, it says the veil was opened up, and now the holies of holies is opened up to all. That means to you and I. I like this saying, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Say it anytime you feel intimidated, anytime you feel down and out, anytime you feel overwhelmed. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for me. God wants to communicate with you and I. He wants to be your friend. The door is open, and the Bible says, come and dine. Jesus' blood was covered and has covered all our sins once and for all. All we have to do is accept and enter into his rest. Do you understand that? That's the easiest thing for anyone to do, but it's the hardest thing for them to accept. It's that easy. Come in. I'm here. Come and dine. Accept who I am. Accept me. Now, I'm not talking about religion. There's a lot of religions out there. Okay? A lot of denominations. But I really believe that Jesus did not come to start another religion. He came to have a relationship with us. He came to have a relationship with us. He has a purpose and a destiny for our life. He is the one who created us, and he is the reason that we are here today. He is the one who created us, and we are here because of him. Not because of anything we did, it's because of what he did. He is the one that loves us more than we love him. And when you come into a relationship with Jesus, your life will be changed and more rewarding and more fulfilling than ever, 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 ever before. Jesus is telling us that I am the one who lived. I am the one who also died. But praise be unto God, I am the one who now lives forevermore. That was another amen corner. I lived, I died, but I am alive forevermore. And you have to realize that he lives within you and I. He lives within you and I. Jesus in Luke 10:19, the Amplified tells us, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over what? All the power of the enemy that possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you." That's one I would underline, because that gives you the understanding that that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. We have resurrection power. That is resurrection power. Jesus is telling every one of us that I have given you power, that no matter what Satan says, no matter what Satan does, no matter how he comes against you, you have the power to be not intimidated, not hurt, not set back, but you have the power to withstand and be on the end of it, not the beginning of it. Praise the Lord. There was this minister that had a dream. He was in a room, and he stood on one end of the room, and the devil and Satan stood on the other room. Satan glared at the man to the point he was paralyzed with fear. He couldn't move, though he tried several times. Satan's hold was too strong. The more he tried to break away, the more Satan just laughed at him. He was so scared he couldn't pray or even quote any scriptures. He was frozen, held hostage by Satan's evil grip. And all of a sudden, Jesus stepped into the room and walked between the two. Jesus was facing Satan, and his back was to the man. And Jesus started backing up toward the man. The man was perplexed. The man said, "Jesus, don't back up. You're not afraid of Satan." But Jesus continued to back up until he was right in front of the man. Jesus took one more step backwards and went inside of the man. Hands in the hands, feet in the feet, torso in the torso. Until now, Jesus disappeared inside the man. Then the man, all of a sudden, saw he wasn't doing this because of his paralyzed fear, but saw his hand lift up and point to Satan. And immediately, Satan dropped to the ground, and the man was able to walk out of that room. Do you understand that dream? You may not feel powerful, but you need to know you have the most powerful force in the universe living inside of you. In the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Do you understand that? In the name of Jesus, all demonic forces have to bow. In the name of Jesus, all financial struggles will go away. In the name of Jesus, no matter what you are going through, it has to go away. And see, this is exactly what Satan wants out of you and I. He wants to paralyze every Christian with fear. He wants to put you to the point you are not able to do anything. He wants to get you so afraid that he will take your scriptures away from you. Okay? your ability to talk away from you, your ability to pray away from you. That's what he wants to do. But you got to understand, you have something inside you that's more powerful than anything he can throw at you. Any glare he can lay out at you. You got the powerful force of resurrection power living inside you. Living inside. That, amen. Praise the Lord. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in every believer. That same resurrection power and life that Jesus experienced can be experienced in our lives today. Resurrection is not just a future thing. Resurrection is now. Paul declared that he wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. And that should be the prayer and the cry of every believer today. Why wait for the manifestation of the resurrection for the future and not live with a resurrection power today? Today, we have it. I have seen so many Christians that have gotten so weak and frail because they don't understand this. They don't understand what lives inside them. Okay? And I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Satan has whipped you. Many Christians today, they're being toyed around. It's like a cow or something that has a hook around its nose, and the way you want him to go, you just get a rope, put it on that, and you can lead him anywhere. I think that's kind of like what Satan is trying to do to so many Christians today. And we sometimes allow it. Okay? And I thank God, because God doesn't give up. God continues to hold on. He says, I'm with you through thick and thin. He says he's always there. Whether we're up in the mountaintop or down in the valley, he's always there. That's resurrection power. You have the power to take your life back in control through Jesus. You have it. Okay? Stand up strong. Fake it till you get it. Fake it till you make it. Do you understand? Fake it till you make it. You might not feel powerful. I don't care. Stand up and look it. Because eventually that look is going to become truth. If you stand around, oh, Satan's just beat me up today. I just feel so low. Lord, I need you. You know, I believe the Lord's up there. I know you need me. And you got me. Believe it. Believe it. His power is within you. Let faith arise. The power is in you. My goodness, get a hold of that. Get a hold of that this week. You know, God loves you. Don't ever put anything else aside. God loves you. He does. Okay? And he loves you so much that he will not let any harm come against you. Just like that Syrian army. Just like that Syrian army with Elijah. Was Elijah afraid? Was he afraid? He was in his house resting. You know, sipping on a lemonade. And the servant came in, Elijah, what are you just so restful for? Understand, that's a man of God versus the carnal man. God wants us to be spiritual. Here we have a spiritual man. We have a servant, carnal man. And they're in desperate two ways going. How could he be so carnal when he was in the most spiritual man of that time? He let the life, carnal life. There's some other things this servant did. I won't go into these. But that was the big one when Elijah said, open his eyes, Lord. His spiritual eyes are blind. Open his. I'm telling you today, open your spiritual eyes. I'm praying like Elijah prayed about to God for his servants. I'm praying it for the church today. Open your spiritual eyes. Look around you. You'll see what Satan is trying to do, and you'll be able to counteract that. But the church of today is blind. Hallelujah. And it needs, like Elijah says, it needs their spiritual eyes open where they can spiritually discern what is actually taking place in our world. We're in a desperate time, and we need our spiritual eyes. Churches today need their spiritual eyes opened, because if they don't open them, I'm sorry to say what's going to take place in the future. I will say this. If you will not be intimidated, cannot be intimidated, because what lives in you is more powerful than any force the universe or Satan can throw at you. Amen? Take that in stride this week. Follow it this week. Expand on it this week. And if you feel overwhelmed, or you feel down, or you feel struggling or problems, call out on God. Call out on God. Come and dine, because He's there waiting. Come and dine. Come and dine. Heavenly Father, I thank You this day for Your love and Your concern and Your compassion for all of us. I thank You this day, Lord, for what You are going to do in our lives and through our lives. Be with us, I pray. Be with this fellowship, I pray. Lord, this week, help us. Each and every one of us go through different things. Sometimes it might be overwhelming, but help us today realize that resurrection power inside of us, that we should never be intimidated again. We should never fall prey to Satan again. And when we do, and something comes at us, I pray, God, that we will come and dine with You, that we will get our strength from resurrection power in You again, that we will open our spiritual eyes and see what the devil is trying to do, and we'll be able to counteract it. We can lead him somewhere else. In the name of Jesus, thank You for this day, this week. Amen. Don't forget, Thursday night prayer meeting. Okay? And I'm going to try to put together a Bible series on 1 John. So we'll start with a little Bible series on 1 John. I really like that one. I think it's a good study. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.